there's always been an interest. They attempted in the past some social engineering type of contests. But this year, when they talked to us because of our site, social-engineer.org, I guess that attracted them to kind of come to us and see if we can develop an idea of how we can hold a contest for social engineering without kind of crossing the line, the legal lines and the moral lines, leaving people feeling victimized or bad.
So not everyone understands what social engineering is. So describe to people, this is essentially, it's probably one of the most effective ways of hacking a network, but it's one of the ways that it's hard to prepare for.
Yes, actually, that's a pretty nice definition of what you just said.
Well, thank you, because I get paid to do this, so it works out that way.
Yeah, you know, that's funny. I don't. But social engineering is probably one of the biggest route that malicious hackers will use to get inside of a company, because it's the biggest weakness, it's human vulnerability. So what will happen a lot of times is, you can spend days trying to write an exploit for a piece of software code, or you can make one 15-minute phone call, ask someone a few questions, and get the same information that you were looking for previously. So, but what happens is a lot of times is because it's such a difficult avenue to prepare for, and there's not a lot of good material out there on for education or awareness of social engineering, and because humans are naturally trusting of one another, especially when being asked to help, that we felt this would be a nice way to raise awareness, show people in a non-malicious way how easy it is to gather information, and then hopefully with the report that will be generated afterward, really show what kind of, how if this was a malicious attack, which it's not, how these things would be able to be used and then raise that awareness up.
And social networking can be anything from the nice letter that I get from my friend who's in somewhere in Africa and has this wonderful deal for me that if I just send him, $1 million or whatever version of I happen to get, that's a form of social engineering. But it can be folks who call up and say, I'm with the IT shop. I see that there are some problems with your computer, and if you just give me your password, I'll be able to fix that for you.
Yes, actually, and everything in between. Many times,
correct.
A social engineer won't even be something like that letter you mentioned. That's all out. That's definitely a social engineering attempt. But a lot of times, the phone call will be just to gather certain pieces of information, like who you use for your IT department, or who you use for other services in your building. Because once a social engineer has that information, they're able to develop attacks based on things that will make you trust them right away. You're not going to distrust me or mistrust me if I come to your place in a uniform that appears to be the same as the ones that you would expect your service people to be wearing.
Well, I trust you because I've had the crack at Dorabeck Insider team do a full check, so we trust you. Give us a little sense as to how this competition will work.
Sure.
And we'll get to the part, because I know there are some people who are a little squeamish out there going, hold on, I'm going to end up with some egg on my face coming out of this. And I want to get to that, too. So
okay.
I think part of the way we can deal with that is describing to folks how exactly how it works.
Sure. I'll give you the outline, too, of how we envision the contest itself working. Each person was assigned a company to do research and information gathering on, and it was web-based information gathering. So they were given like a week and a half, and they were not to do anything that would even resemble more than web searches.
So it's passive information gathering.
So this isn't, you're not actually calling people within organizations as is possible to do.
Not at the first stage.
Right.
The first stage is merely they go to the web, they find out everything they can on their website, other news articles. Sometimes what is amazing is just doing certain Google searches, you'll find that people have left files wide open to the internet that they shouldn't have, contact information, other things. You have employees of companies that use social media sites like Twitter, Blippi, Facebook, LinkedIn, and they'll put their whole life, if you find one person that uses those four, let's say, you'll find their whole life story on these things, where they ate, how much they spent, what credit card they use. And just that kind of passive information gathering is what's to be done for a week and a half before the contest dossiers were sent back to us. And really the purpose of that was for them to kind of gain a feel of how this company interacts in the world and on the internet, what kind of departments they have, using that information to develop a plan to assess their business.
So almost laying out how they would go about doing this. How would they start?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So they get all the information in their heads. That way they're able to sit back and say, this is what the phone call, if I were going to make, I would do. Here's how I would try to get into the company. Here's the information I would try to gather on the phone.
This also gives us an opportunity to filter out anything that we might think is not going to go as we planned. And basically, it helps us filter out anything that we feel might not be legal.
If somebody might be getting a little too aggressive, maybe.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So it also gives us an opportunity to see what the proposed attack vector is, and gives us an opportunity to filter it out if needed.
And then once they're done with that, they come to the contest. You know, we review the dossiers, they come to the contest, and each person is given a chance to make a phone call, or, you know, they can make as many phone calls as they want in a 25-minute time, and we give them specific flags. So this is where, you know, in a normal capture the flag contest, the flag is usually a server or a package or a piece of information on a server. And everyone gets together and they try to break into the server, and the first person to capture that flag is the one who wins. So in this essence, it's not so much that first person to capture, you know, a quote-unquote flag inside of a particular company, but it's the flags are things that we have set. We worked closely with the EFF to make sure that the flags that we chose were not things that would be, as you put before, egg on the face, or no financial information, no healthcare information, no banking information, no passwords, no social security numbers. You know,
in other words, everything is legal.
Yeah, right. Everything's legal. Well, and it actually makes it harder because
the other stuff is probably out there if you look hard enough.
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of it is, and a lot of it is given freely when asked for. You know, having legal flags sometimes will make the task much, much more difficult. But what this will show is that if they can capture the legal flags, it probably would have been four or five times easier to capture the illegal ones.
And after you do all this, and you'll actually come up with a report and say, and what will the report detail out?
The report will have the details of what we found in a very general sense. Our goal with this was not to embarrass ABC company.
Right.
It was not to broadcast on the internet, oh, look, we called this company and their people were so silly, they gave away all this information, look at this. Our goal was to merely show we called, let's say, 28 companies. Out of 28, 20 of the contestants asked this question, and 15 of them fell for it. And not to say which 15. You know, there might be that information, you know, might be given back to the company personally,
right.
But it's not going to be the public report. Will be something that will show here's major corporations in America. And here is the majority or percentage of pie chart. Here's how they sell.
And are you doing any government agencies?
No. As a matter of fact, what we have cut off completely from our list is healthcare, banking, and any government agency whatsoever.
Any financial institutions as well?
Yeah.
Because the data is just seen as too sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, well, legality, pretexting at all, which is one of the biggest aspects of social engineering. Pretexting is completely illegal on any financial institution, according to the GLBA.
Yeah. And the reason we're talking to you, even though there aren't any government agencies in here, guess what? Government agencies are just as susceptible to social engineering as any other organization. So, and when I saw the series of stories that said people were very nervous about being embarrassed, I frankly scratched my head and said, my sort of thought was, guess what? This is happening to you anyway. Wouldn't you rather know about it in this form rather than having somebody actually break into your network, steal stuff, and have them, you know,
embarrass really?
Beyond embarrass, hurt your business.
Yeah.
That could be a real embarrassment. And it's part of the thing that has always surprised me about cybersecurity is, why can't we talk about this? Everyone is having the same problems. Let's put them out there and acknowledge everybody's having this problem. Get over the embarrassment of it. Let's move on to talk about ways we can fix them.
The acknowledgement is the problem.
All right, I'm getting off my soapbox now.
I think the acknowledgement itself is the problem. But Chris, go ahead.
No, it's the truth. What Maddie said and what you said, it's like you really just summed up Chris, what our feelings were, and that's why we worked with the EFF and CSO magazine to issue that press release, because the fear that was generated off of this contest, it was good and bad. I mean, it was good because our goal was
got you a lot of attention.
Oh, a lot of attention. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we probably wouldn't be talking to you right now if it wasn't for that. But
to a large extent, we've already accomplished a lot of what we set out to do at the very beginning, because of the increased awareness.
I got to ask you one thing, because I saw another story that was floating around. I think it was also on CSO Magazine, where the people most susceptible to social engineering are the people in the corner offices. And in fact, our big boss here sent me a note saying, I heard that, and I'm going to go talk to my security guy. So at least I reached out to one person. Do you find that it's almost the people who are important? Guess what? They have a lot more information, so they're very valuable. But they're also, they almost think that I don't have to deal with this security stuff. I'm the boss.
I think that happens a lot. And I think, especially from like our commercial work, because the social-engineer.org is like a community site, something we do for the community. But in our commercial work and penetration tests and other types of assessments for companies, we find that social engineering is the easiest way in, and usually the higher up, the easier it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's the guy who's on the bottom of the totem pole, he's so afraid of getting in trouble and losing his job that it might be more difficult to pull information out of him. But the guy who's got all the power, man, they love just talking. If you talk about how great and powerful they are, and you know what a good job their company does, you can get people to spill their guts about almost anything.
Yeah. When does this actually happen?
Well, the CTF, the information gathering phase has been going on and is being completed now. The actual phone calls will be at DEF CON, which will be July 29th, 30th, and 31st.
Yeah, the end of the month.